Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 78 of the Uncovered podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere. And you can also find all of our videos, podcasts, and everything that Jared writes, along with the rest of our team, on goodareas.co. So go bookmark that page if you haven't already. And let's kick things off on Uncovered. So lots of off-field stuff happened this week, Jared. Mostly in Pakistan, and it hurts me. It hurts me to tell you all of these things, but here's the timeline, all right? I think the last time we spoke, Imad and Amir and those guys had been brought back, and there was a selection committee, you know, in which
Harris
they had,
Ralph, I think, as well.
Harris Ralph's contract got reinstated instantly, and Yusuf, Razak, Asad Shafiq, and one more guy who I just... Wahab Riaz, yeah. They basically formed the selection committee amongst those four guys, diluting Wahab's power as chief selector, and said that we'll have a data analyst, coach, and captain as part of this committee. Before I even get to the other nonsense, the data analyst that they hired is a politician. So there's that. And I know Hasan Cheema is still part of, you know, things in the PCB hierarchy or whatever. But
the politician, he's obviously got a lot of experience being a data analyst in cricket before this.
No, he has worked in forestries and some other government, the caretaker government that just happened. And
well, he's worked with Wood.
If you go to if you go to his Twitter page, Jared, all you can see is him retweeting the current PCB chairman, Mohsin Naqvi, who also happens to be the interior.
That's a good way to get a job, to be fair. If I did that more, I'd be an analyst more often.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing to do, right? To retweet the chairman, and that's how you'll get the coveted data analyst position. And you know what? When I saw that they're going to make the data analyst part of the selection committee, I was so happy. I was like, they finally recognized the importance of this role and that it is an actual job. And then they gave it to a politician. Now, this guy might just be the chairman's dude in that committee to kind of report back to him. And maybe Hasan Cheema will be doing the you know, brunt of all
actual
of the work.
Data.
Yeah. But their press release, the PCB's press release, named Bilal Afzal, the politician dude, as, you know, the data analyst. So it's just so bizarre. I mean, you as someone who works with data probably like puked when I told you that.
So a friend of mine got a job with an IPL franchise and he was an expert in data. And he was really good at finding anomalies. And I mean, this guy was an expert on that sort of thing. But I remember when I talked to him, I made a comment at one stage about a cutter and he stopped me and he said, can you tell me what a cutter is? Right. He didn't know. Now he was a brilliant data analyst, but he didn't, he could tell you that a player was successful, but he couldn't tell you how a player was successful. And so you can be brilliant at data and not always be helpful in every particular way for a cricket team. If you're going to be involved in selection, you kind of need to know. So, you know, I can tell you this. I've done it many times. I've been in a room and if I'm making a case for someone, I cannot just use the numbers. Mm. I have to be able to say, this guy has these numbers because of this, this, and this. Mm. And if you are not that kind of person and you don't have it, it's not going to work. And well, look, we both think data should be used more in cricket. There's no doubt about that. But not a friend of the chairman. It should be a proper job done by in a proper way. And, you know, he came in, the chairman, and said he didn't want it to be political. And yet he's a politician and he's hired another politician and he's made that sort of that statement about, oh, we're going to send them to the army so they hit more sixes, which is the most political thing you can say, right? Because it's just playing to the angry uncles who are like, oh yeah, they should hit more sixes. They should go to the army. I had to go to the army, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And he's like, yeah, that's not what this is. Yeah. So
also another thing that they did was, they said that they won't, like, they always come up with how sport and politics shouldn't be politicized. And then they forgot to commemorate Pakistan's 92 World Cup win. They wished three other guys happy birthday before that. And then eventually when they sent out the post, they didn't include Imran's name. And also it had lesser words than when they commemorated Ezaz Cheema's Asia Cup match winning spell. So, I mean, you know, all of these things for context. And then they say, don't make it political. I have Bilal Afzal's LinkedIn in front of me. He has been group director of the Punjab Group. He has been chief executive officer of Zero Carbon. And then he has been in the government of the Punjab, caretaker minister for environment protection, caretaker minister for forest, wildlife and fisheries, caretaker minister for planning and development. And this guy went to the University of Toronto and has an electrical engineering.
There's your biggest problem, Canada.
Yeah, yeah, electrical engineering degree. Nothing, so he's not too far
Nothing good has ever come out of Canada and Pakistan being linked to each other, Bayram.
But this is just like, it's so insane. I mean, they actually did some good things, and we spoke about those good things last time. And all of a sudden, they're like, no, we're not going to let you be happy for too long. We're going to go and be the PCB and do what we do best. Fuck shit up. Anyway. Let's take a
new Babar Azam
chat first before we get to Babar.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. He says, can India's women team ever reach Australia women's level? I think they're on track. I'm really impressed with what I see in India's women's team. And there's some, you know, I look at Richa Ghosh bat and I'm like, oh my God, like this could be one of the best power hitters in the game, right? There are other women in there. Like, I think Pooja Vastrakar is one of the better pace bowling all-rounders going around. Jemima is fantastic. Smriti just won the Women's Premier League with Rajasthan. So, yes, they've had, you know, great players over the years, but the younger crop is so talented. And they also seem like great girls. Like, I love to just hear them talk and stuff like that. So, I feel like that's something Australia did. They not only played great cricket, but everyone fell in love with the personalities within Australia's team. India are on track to do that, I reckon.
I mean, Harmanpreet might be the outlier there.
Shefali Verma, I mean, no one knows. Our colleague Varun has named Shefali Verma. Yeah, she's the Sehwag of women. I shouldn't say that anymore. People got pissed off last time someone said something like that.
Look, I think in the next 20 or 30 years, Indian women's cricket could be anything. I don't know if we'll ever see any team have a run the way that the Australian women have just had a run. But if it is going to be another team, you would put your money on India.
Yeah, 100%. All right, then back to Pakistan cricket. And here's the chronological sequence of events, right? So in a press conference, Mohsin Naqvi, the PCB chairman, when he was, you know, announcing how the players are going to go to an army camp and Imad and Amir are back and Haris Rauf's contract has been reinstated, he said that, oh, but I don't know if Shaheen's going to remain captain or not. That's not my call. We're going to have to see. So basically, we now know that Shaheen's not going to be captain there and then. We just know, okay? Yeah. And he has had no, like, they haven't communicated with him. They kept Shaheen in the dark. And, you know, he might call it realpolitik, but I call it shithousery, because if you don't have transparency in the team, you create rifts within the team. And that's exactly what happened. They first had a conversation with Babar Azam, just the chairman and Babar. And apparently Babar laid out terms that I want to be captain in all three formats. You can't just sack me after the T20 World Cup if I fail. And I also want to say in selection, a bigger say than last time. Now, I thought to myself that, okay, Babar has a lot of baggage. It didn't work out the first time. This does not sound like a good idea. Plus, I don't get the authoritarian stance. I couldn't wrap my head around it. Anyway, they negotiate with him. Babar becomes white ball captain. They put out a press release. And in the press release, they quote Shaheen Shafridi saying all these nice things. Shaheen Shafridi says he never said any of those nice things. And then the PCB run, or the chairman runs to Kakul, the army training camp, for an emergency meeting because Shaheen is pissed. And as a result of the emergency meeting, we find out that Shaheen still has lingering dissatisfaction, but the PCB owned up to their mistake that, hey, we shouldn't have said that. Some kid made some mistake. And that Babar and Shaheen have a good relationship still. So it's a cesspool of, I don't even have a word for it. I don't know what to say anymore. But it's just like, this country, forget its cricket, Jared. This country, and I tweeted this, feels like, you know, some maniacal TV show, like a soap opera on steroids with one amputated limb and an overgrown adrenal gland. That's what Pakistan is right now. And I think the cricket team was like a parallel universe running like separate from the actual country for a bit. And now it's just an absolute, you know, one-to-one depiction of it. And it hurts me, but it's also crazy, weird and funny and ridiculous all at the same time.
It is a little bit like that it's The Truman Show, but directed by Quentin Tarantino. just for that, it's just, I mean, what a stupid thing to put out a quote from a player. Like, I don't know this PCB chairman, and he's more than welcome to come on the podcast and tell us we're all wrong, but he looks like he has no idea what he's doing at the moment and is causing massive issues when there does not need to be issues. And they've gone back to the, you know, there was that period where it was professional, you know, there was issues between Rambo and Wasim Khan and, you know, the Wasim Khan issue, you know, and some of the other chairmen coming through, but it was vaguely professional. Wasn't always fully professional. You know, you and I both know behind the scenes, sometimes you can hear it creak a little bit, but it was vaguely professional.
Wasim Khan is as close to professional as we got.
Yeah. Hmm. But also, even Rambo being Rambo, like, you know, when Ramesh Rajah was there, it was, yes, it was running to his whims, but it was still running. It was still going in a direction. He probably shouldn't have been CEO and chairman at the same time. And I know unofficially, but he was.
But, you know, and Rambo sort of stuff represented Pakistan well when teams pulled out of Pakistan's tours. You know, he got reparations. I mean, he got corporate sponsorship to the PCB. Hayden and Philander were paid by banks, not by the PCB. And sure, he fucked up the pitches. We're all agreeing to that. But there was still a lot to like about Rambo. Now it's just like this authoritarian thing that's happening. And, you know, they had the whole photo op in Kakul today. They want us to believe that everything's fine and, you know, rosy, but ultimately you have completely, you know, butchered the sanctity of the team, because Shaheen is obviously going to be pissed. And they said that we're replacing him because of workload management. Did that not occur to you 3 months prior, even if there was a different chairman? It was that glaringly obvious.
It's just, yeah, it's just nonsense for the sake of nonsense at this point. So look, hopefully they get it right and they can hit the next World Cup you know, with some momentum, but they probably won't, and it'll probably go worse.
I mean, chaos is something that Pakistan deals with well, so maybe that's the last straw that Pakistan fans can hope for. But Babar as white ball captain, I don't know. I don't know if it'll work out. Bart says, $2 for Behram's therapy. Thanks, Bart. I really need those. And like, you know that. What? They might even go a long way when you convert it to Pakistani rupees. So maybe that does get me like a quarter of a session. Who knows?
12 minutes of Pakistani therapy. I love it.
Imagine Babar captaining Imad and Amir, though. Spicy.
I mean, the whole thing is, it's fun, but not in a good way.
Imagine what Shaan Masood must be thinking when Babar said, I want to be all-format captain. He's like, what did I do? I'm not even there in the army camp. It's crazy. It's just so insane. But yeah, I think we'll just have to wait and see how things unfold. They still don't have a coach. You'd think that the coach should have a say in the captain or who should be captain. Shahid Afridi has come out and said, I get that they removed Shaheen. And even though that was wrong, why Babar? You should have made Rizwan the captain. So everyone's firing
shots.
That's
helping.
Yeah. Everyone's firing shots. Nothing's helping. And yeah, it's just crazy how this has gotten to this point. Because just when you think that it can't get any worse, Pakistan cricket proves to be, you know, otherwise. So, yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Let's take a break. I need a breather. We have other things to discuss. You guys are watching Uncovered with Behram and Jared. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short ad.
This is brought to you by Cricket 8. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. We have a partnership with them where we host live watch-alongs, do podcasts and write articles. If you want to know what is really happening with our game, visit cricket8.com.
Welcome back to Uncovered. You guys are with Behram and Jared. And one very interesting piece of news that I saw this week, Jared, was that Corey Anderson, the guy who broke Shahid Afridi's record for fastest ODI 100 before AB broke his record, he was someone who New Zealand cricket, you know, had touted to be a bit of a prodigy and they had high hopes from him. And then he was sidelined and then Jimmy Nasham was kind of the guy for that job. Corey Anderson then moved to the USA, started playing cricket there, and now he will be representing the USA's national team in a series versus Canada, I believe. And obviously, if you've got Corey Anderson in your books, he's going to be there at the T20 World Cup. Now, that's quite a turnaround.
Do you know what? He, you know, obviously, I did a little bit of work for the Major League Cricket and Minor League Cricket at times, and I've been talking to a few people in America, especially with everything that's going on with the World Cup behind the scenes, which is, you know, hilariously bad. And I kept saying, why are they not picking him? Because I think, I'm trying to remember, Andreas Goos certainly had been picked before. And I'm trying to remember if Shadley Van Schalkwyk had been picked as well. But they had picked some of those guys who had qualified. And they hadn't picked Corey Anderson. And you're sitting there going, I think that's right anyway, unless I'm wrong and all of them are new in the side. But my memory was that some of them had been picked and some of them hadn't, or there was certainly something else going on. Oh, no, I'm wrong. Sorry. All those guys are new. So it was all of them who hadn't been picked before. So we get it. It's awkward because suddenly there are all these guys coming in from outside. But why would you not want Corey Anderson playing for the USA?
Yeah.
And Corey Anderson, remember, did not move to the USA to have a career playing cricket in the USA. Like some of these other players did. Corey Anderson is, I think I'm right in saying, married to an American woman. was going to move there anyway. Yeah, it was going to move there anyway. Obviously had massive injury. I mean, the only reason Corey Anderson's not in the IPL now is injuries, right? I don't know. I think there's a lot of people who don't know that and think, oh, you know, he had a couple of big years and they didn't, but it was, he just could never get right. He's too big for cricket, right? He's freaking massive. You know, I wrote an article about how batters had changed shape the first time I was at a hotel with him and he was in the breakfast queue before me. And I was like, what the hell is this? This is not, you know, this is not your grandfather's batter, right? Looking at this bloke. I interviewed him as well. Lovely guy. You know, a really interesting story. He was 15 or 16 and he's, I think the teacher, the principal came into his schoolroom to tell him he had to pack up his stuff because he'd got picked to play for, I think, was it Canterbury or Auckland? I can't remember which team he's from now. But yeah, if he was fully fit, he would have been playing. And the USA are not picking Corey Anderson. So Corey Anderson's good enough to come back to the Big Bash, right? And he's not good enough to play for the USA team? Are we serious? And you know, on Andreas Goose and Harmeet Singh and Shadley Van Schalwick. I don't think I know the other guy, Milind Kumar, but those other guys. There's some players there, right? Like proper professional players. And the USA cricket's like, oh, couldn't possibly bring these guys in. It should be a mix of both, right? Like, I mean, that's how most international cricket teams started. You know, I mean, Jardine almost captained India for the same reason, right? Like, that's how these teams start. And he's I truly believe that he's a fantastic cricketer, Corey Anderson. And if it was not for injuries, he would be remembered in a very different way than he is at the moment. I think he's probably somewhere between a sort of Henrik Claassen and Andre Russell. He's, you know, not quite as normal a batter as Henrik Claassen is, and he's probably not as consistent a hitter as Corey Anderson is. As Andre Russell is. But I think he's on that level, and I don't know if I've ever seen anyone outside of Andre Russell hit the ball harder than he does. You know, there was a lot of years where he spent time bowling. Clearly should never have bowled.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's a particularly good bowler, but also physically, I don't think it worked for him. And, you know, just happy to see him, you know, to see him come back. But, you know, peak Corey Anderson, I just want to find the years here. So in, you're talking about 2017, 2018, he averaged over 30 both years with a combined strike rate of over 150. Those are phenomenal numbers.
Massive. Right?
And he really hasn't played a lot of cricket, and he was misused a lot by teams and everything else. And I don't think he did much in the Big Bash this year. I don't think he knocked the ball off the square, did he? But he still has it within him. He's not the Corey Anderson that he ever could have been. He could have been an incredible player for New Zealand. And unfortunately, due to his body, that never quite happened. But it's great that he's getting a second chance. You know, I really, really do rate him quite highly. And I remember, I've got this feeling that when I interviewed him, we did this big article, and I think the article was about the fact that he always felt like he was promoted based on potential, not performance. And that always annoyed him because he really thought that he could be a great player, but he was getting picked before he was a great player. And I reckon I interviewed him in 2017. And it must have been just at the point where he was finally matching that. And he was finally becoming the player that we all thought he could become. And then by the 2018, he was done physically, right? And it just didn't work for him. So I'm hoping he gets to string a couple more years. And it's great for USA cricket. USA is, like, they're not in a good place, USA cricket, at the moment. And having that level of players come in, you know, I think Aaron Jones is a fantastic player, and they've got some other good players and interesting players around. But Corey Anderson is another level. And on Andreas Goose, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. I've seen him play before. He's a good player. And Shadley Van Schalkwyk, I've seen him play. Harmeet Singh, those guys are players, as I said, you know, and they should only help that team. And, you know, the worst thing for American cricket, it would be the American audience turning on to watch that World Cup and seeing terrible team.
Yeah.
Right. That would be absolutely, you know, maybe if they sign up and they see Corey Anderson whacking sixes everywhere, it gives them something, right? Mm. Also, he looks like a baseballer. So I think it works in many different ways.
I mean, I think it's not just the injuries, also the fact that at least for his New Zealand career, you know, Jimmy Neesham and Colin de Grandhomme were kind of occupying those spots as well. So New Zealand didn't really even, you know, look towards him again because they had people doing that job. And then, you know, the body didn't hold up. But also, yes, it makes sense for the USA to have him, but why not other people? Like, where's Unmukh Chand? Why isn't he in the USA?
That's what I mean. I think there's clearly an issue. I should say, I don't know who's qualified and who hasn't, because, you know, obviously Dane Peat was going to play. Like, is Dane Peat still on qualification, or does the test match in South Africa cause issues? I honestly don't know. I don't think it does, because I still think he can play for the USA if he wants to. But yeah, so, you know, you have these sorts of situations going in. Clearly, Dane Peat and Unmukh Chand, and there's probably three or four others.
Some Pakistanis, I think, Sami Aslam.
There's a Sri Lankan as well that it's a really good player. So there's a few guys coming through that definitely could play at that level. So, you know, and you still, Aaron Jones, I still, and I'm picking him because he's the best USA talent that I've seen, but there's other, you know, really good players as well. There's a lot of those guys that still deserve to be picked as well. That, you know, it isn't just about picking the overseas players, but this whole idea, Major League Cricket, for it to be successful as a franchise model, American players have to come through. The American team has to be better. All those things work hand in hand. And it did feel like, as many cricket boards in America have done before, their ability to, you know, PCB it up and shoot themselves in the foot for no reason is, you know, unparalleled. And look, I promise you, some of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes of the World Cup, I probably won't be able to report on all of it because I won't be able to get over it and get the full facts. But it's terrible what is going on in USA cricket at the moment. They are very much in danger of stuffing up the fact that the Major League worked and they're about to host a World Cup. That's how badly run American cricket is at the moment. And the fact that it's taken Corey Anderson this long to get into the side sort of tells you where they're going.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And hopefully things change, because if they, you know, develop a bit of an interest in America for the sport, at least T20 cricket after this World Cup, and they'll have better infrastructure because they're going to be making all of those things for the World Cup, there's a market over there and it can be best utilized if the board is, well, doing its job properly. Anyway, last topic of the day for Uncovered is South Africa's cricketers were awarded central contracts. You know, they were renewed. And I mean, Quinton de Kock not getting a central contract makes sense to me, Jared, because he retired from two formats and he's just available for T20 internationals. David Beddingham, who also has a full-time gig with Durham, so maybe that was an issue. I'm not sure if he wasn't offered a contract or whether he declined one, but I wouldn't see a reason why he would decline one, because he was part of the first string test team. He was also part of the team that toured New Zealand after playing India. He performed in both those series. He scored a 100 or maybe 200s, I'm forgetting, and there were a couple of 50s in there as well. Looked like a proper bat. First-class average is touching 50 as well, just under 50. Is good for Durham as well. In a team where batting talent is, you know, there's a dearth of batting
non-existent
talent. Yeah, non-existent. And you get a guy like Beddingham, why, like, forget giving him a contract. Give him one of the better contracts. That's what I would think.
If you need your pitch change, well, NordVPN can doctor any surface to a new location so that your IP address is set for you to win. Want to watch a game on a free stream in another hemisphere? Give NordVPN the ball. Or if you just want to watch a clip on social media that a cricket board won't allow, promote NordVPN to pinch hit. So if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a bowler protects the boundaries in the death overs with nordvpn.com/Kimber today.
Yeah. So Keegan Peterson has a contract, doesn't he? Is it Keegan Peterson?
I think Tony DeZorzi also has a contract, but he got a good
score. I like Tony DeZorzi, but he hasn't done what David Benningham's done yet.
Yeah.
Tristan Stubbs has a contract.
I'm pretty sure Berger got a contract as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's some good. Reza Hendricks is another one. How many of those players are certain to be in a lineup?
Can you check if Andile Feflekweo has a contract? Does he?
Oh,
I bet he does. if he does have a contract and David Bedingham doesn't, then I'm not sure what direction South African cricket is,
no,
is headed.
No, he's out.
Oh, he's out?
Okay. He's lost his, yeah.
Fair enough.
So, you know, but you look at those other players and you do think to yourself, what's this? 20. Oh, wait a minute. Have I got the right squad here?
Oh, have you?
Am I looking at the wrong squad?
Let me look at the contracts.
I'm looking at the South African Cricket South Africa's website.
Yeah, I know. Oh, then you have the right one. It was 6 days ago.
All right. No, I might have had the wrong one up. Wait, just let me get back to this. Let's see if I've got this right.
Major plot twist.
No, De Zorzi. No, we're right. I'm trying to get 14. So 14, okay. Not an automatic pick in any of their sides. No, you're right. Andile is in there.
There you go then. Feff Lekweo made it.
Not an automatic pick. Tristan Stubbs. So Keegan Peterson has lost his. I might have been looking at last year's. I don't know why that came up first. But so you look at this and you go, okay, well, Bedingham, there's no way. I mean, I don't know what would have to happen, Bayram, in the world for Bedingham not to get automatically chosen in the test team.
Yeah.
Now, maybe the Durham thing is a thing. Maybe he said, I'm free to play when Durham are not playing. Right? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the full thing. But you look at this and you're like, well, Reza Hendricks and Beyond Fontaine are not automatic selections, right? Even Tony De Zorzi, who I really rate, and I've got no problem with him having a contract. Tony De Zorzi will play a few test matches, but he'll also probably, you know, he's a very big chance of being dropped. And Dele Peff Lekweo will be in and out of that side, right? Yeah. Like we just know these sorts of things. So you do look at it and you go, how are you helping yourselves here? Mm-hmm. But we also don't know, and I have a big issue with this. I don't think we know enough about the metrics that teams use for some of these contracts. That would be an issue that I would have is, you know, they might just be like, well, some of these other guys can play two formats and he can only play one format, right? Mm. Which, and then you'd be like, okay, if that's the case, that's fine. And you think he's going to play enough test matches that he'll be upgraded to a contract anyway? Because that's the other thing. With some of these contracts, if you do play enough, you just get upgraded to a contract. Yeah. I don't know if you're aware of that or if fans know that. Because sometimes I've ripped into some boards before and they're like, Jared, we know he's going to play 8 games, but we wanted to contract this other guy because we're developing him. And if this guy plays 8 games, he'll still get his contract anyway. And I'm like, yeah, but you do understand that you haven't told anyone in the real world this and we have to understand that. So these sorts of things happen, but it doesn't look ideal, does it? What they've done at the moment with that. And obviously Unwritten Nokia is the other. I'm right in saying he's the other one that's out.
But just on Bedingham before you go to Nokia.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, he's a big one. You know, this is a guy who got heartbroken and left South Africa to play his cricket in England. He really wanted to play test cricket for South Africa. So I don't see a world in which that cannot be negotiated and you can have him on the table. And this is someone who after, you know, 3 losses in the last 4 test matches and 1 series in which your Z team played is a, you know, constant performer and his numbers check out, like everything makes sense. As Cricket South Africa with the, you know, direction their test team is headed and the SA20 and all of that, you know, catastrophe that's happening in a way. That was the one thing they needed to get right. Make sure Bedingham is on the list so that at least we have some hope in the middle order. And they didn't do that.
Who else on this list would you say is a test match specialist?
I mean, I'll have to see the list. None of those names that you named, like not Stubbs, not Reza, not Fortein.
I don't think anyone on this list is a test match specialist. And I wonder if what they have done is just gone through with players that they think are multi-format players, and that's who they've given a contract. And people who might only play just T20 or just test cricket are not getting a contract. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too kind. And you could argue that that's still not a good way of doing it because you need a test batter who will actually make some runs for you and everything else. But perhaps that there is a part of that as well. But it doesn't look, it looks crap. Yeah. It looks, again, I just did a podcast with David Visa and we were talking about his coal pack thing and everything. And I said, I don't think people understand that if you're not in the top 6 or 7 players in South Africa, it's not even always about the actual money, although the actual money quite often is big. The coal pack thing was about the fact that you knew you had a 3 or 5 year, money coming in.
Yeah.
You just knew that you were going to be paid for the next 3 to 5 years or whatever your contract was. And South African players don't know that. And when this happens to David Bedingham, and, you know, we've seen other players have similar kinds of things, it's not going to make it any better. I almost think that South Africa should be, I don't know, I thought New Zealand were going to do this. But I really think that there has to be a coming together of the new world and the old world. And too often these boards don't get it. And here we are again.
And I mean, coming to Nokia, our friend CS, after doing some investigation, has told us that Nokia, in fact, declined a central contract because, you know, he's just rehabilitating from his injury and also just became a father. So congratulations to Anrik. We are assuming that maybe Test cricket is not in his plans, considering, you know, he's going to get franchise gigs and everything as well. But that is an assumption at this point.
Could just be physical, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if he might just be saying, I can't get through a test match. And if I take this contract, you guys are going to want to use me in a test match. Mm-hmm. You know, he's played 5 games this year of T20 cricket and he's averaging 57.
Yeah.
Last couple of years, his numbers held up as in terms of strike bowling. But, you know, he has had a couple of years where he's gone for more runs, struggled in the major league. Mm. He might just be thinking to myself, I can get myself right for about 4 months of the year. If I play for South Africa, I'm going to have to get myself right for 6 or 7 months of the year. And I'm not sure I can do that. You know, Tamal Mills, I remember saying to Tamal Mills that, you know, what when Mitchell Johnson had that incredible run in Test cricket, Sean Tate started playing first-class cricket again. Played a club game, but he bowled like 20 overs a day in that club game because he was thinking to himself, well, if Mitchell Johnson could do that, if they use me in that kind of role, I could do that. And I said to Tamal Mills, have you ever thought of like just when your body's working of just doing that? And he said, if I do that and it doesn't work and I miss out on other work, I'm already worse off. And also if I do that and it injures my body, I'm in no man's land. I think we might see a lot of guys like, you know, Anrik Nokia and Tamal Mills just be like, we can't.
Yeah.
We cannot bowl 150, you know, 24 balls of 150 kilometers an hour, you know, for 4 months of the year and then try and bowl test match cricket. And look at Mark Wood. Mark Wood is kind of always in that sort of situation. Mm. So, you know, I get that. Anrik Nokia is one of my favorite bowlers by a long way. I love watching him bowl. And I haven't enjoyed watching him bowl for a while because he just hasn't been himself.
Yeah, he's lost that sauce. Not the mustache, though, which did make it to my Crick Picks list of the facial hair episode. But yeah, I mean, I hope that we get to see Nokia, you know, turn back the clock a bit and get some good performances in. And I mean, I totally understand his decision. Like the multiple things, like you mentioned, it could be the physical element. It could also be maybe some lucrative offers from elsewhere. Who knows? But anyway, we respect the decision. And let's see how his career fares. Anyway, that is it for Uncovered this week. For everyone in the comments section, thank you so much for all the super chats and for interacting with us. If you like this video, press that like button and share it with your friends and also subscribe to both this channel and Jared's other channel on YouTube. And just a reminder for everybody, goodareas.co is the website that you should bookmark where you can find all of Jared's and our team's writing, all of our videos and all of our podcasts. It's your one-stop shop for all of our content. And yeah, we'll see you next week for another episode of Uncovered. That'll be all for now. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.